get on our feet together. YLC 2025, everyone!
Outside of these doors, Jesus wants to light it up. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The devil and all of the demonic forces love to find people that are alone. We need brothers and sisters doing this thing together. Can I get an amen if you feel me? God is not just tolerating you. He wants you. I think what makes you different is if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
That gets me pumped up, seeing that. Y'all, it was an amazing weekend. If you don't know who I am, I'm Josh Grogan, the youth and college pastor here at Luke 418. And our students just got back from an amazing weekend at Young Lions Conference, downtown Mobile. And we did Discipleship Now with it, which they went back to host homes every night. And it was amazing. Just imagine you had about 1,000 young people downtown Mobile worshiping Jesus. Amen. And the theme of the week was bringing light to, or lighting up the city. And so that was the theme. And the speaker that you saw up there, he's actually the Raiders, the NFL Raiders football chaplain. And so he brought the heat and spoke. He did 3 sessions, and each session was on bringing light. And his first session was bringing light to people in dark places. And then Jesus brings light to doubt. And then the last session was Jesus lights up death. And y'all, it was an amazing week. We saw at the Young Lions Conference, we saw over 50 young students get radically saved. And of those 50, we had 2 of our very own students get saved. And it was amazing. So thank you so much for all that you all did. Thank you so much for the people who gave scholarships. Because of you, these students grew so much. Thank you so much for the ones who gave scholarships. I want to give a personal thank you to our host homes, watching our kids. It was awesome. And then thank you to our leaders. It was incredible. They did a great job as well, our youth leaders. So give a round of applause for them. And like I said, thank you to you for praying. I was in here, you know, our church is doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I've been able to come in here with some of you guys on some of the days and pray with y'all, and just seeing y'all just pray in radical ways for our students, it was incredible. So thank you so much for your prayers. God did an amazing work. And I was already telling our kids, I'm ready for round 2. Let's go tomorrow. I'm ready to roll. Come on. And so, but y'all, so thankful. And the Lord is moving at Luke 418. He's moving in our youth ministry. And the youth wave is coming. Get ready. We're going to have this whole right section filled up before you know it. So get ready. I need some help. So, all right. That's all I got, y'all.
You know, I have done many Disciple Nows, and I've never had that kind of energy at the end of it. So I don't know. I don't know where you get that energy, but we need that in here. I love it. And you know, Josh Grogan, God is doing an amazing work in and through him and our student ministry. And I just am so thankful for all that has taken place. And I look forward to what God's going to do through all of this. You know, we don't want to ever have just one moment and then we just go away from that and begin to fade. We want that to be a catalyst to push us forward for the kingdom of God. And so we are so excited for the students, especially those that came to know Christ and those who are growing in their faith. And we look forward to walking alongside of you throughout these days. And so let's continue to pray for our students and Josh Grogan. And yes, he does need help. He does need those who are willing to serve in the youth and college ministry. We would love to share more about that with you. I want to share with y'all that today is going to be a little bit different in the fact that how many of y'all got the online bulletin? All right, if you didn't, you can sign up for it. But on the online bulletin, I shared with you that today I was going to be sharing vision that the Lord's been putting on my heart for 2025 for Luke 4:18. We like to call this message at the beginning of the year the State of the Church Address. But the Lord told me about 8 o'clock this morning to wait till next week to do that. So here we go. I've got a few notes. We're going to be in 1 John today, super excited about what the Lord is leading in this morning. But be praying for me as I'm still asking the Lord to write the message while we're singing today. But I do want you to know that somebody said there's supposed to be like some snow this week. And I know y'all are all excited. So with that being said, tomorrow the office is closed. On Tuesday, the office will be closed. We had a deacon's meeting, but it will be postponed to the following Tuesday. If you come up here, you're going to be by yourself. And then I want you to hear this. Wednesday night, there is a high chance that Wednesday will be canceled. And the reason is, though with the snow and all that's coming in on Tuesday, you know, we don't live in the north. We don't have those salt trucks and things. So when the temperature goes back down to 20 Wednesday evening, that means there's going to be ice on the road if things have not melted completely. And so chances are Wednesday night will be postponed or canceled until the next Wednesday night. Many of you know that we had an ordination set up for Wednesday night. That will be postponed to the following Wednesday if we are canceling Wednesday night. You can watch our website. You can look on social media. We will post all of that. We're not canceling at this moment for Wednesday, but there's a very high chance if things pan out the way they're saying that it's going to pan out, if Elsa really comes to Mobile. Some of y'all got that. I also want to share with you that our new members class is February 9th, 16th, and 23rd. If you're interested in that, you can sign up at the note table. You can come and join us for that even if you didn't sign up. But this is that opportunity for you to learn more about Luke 4:18 fellowship. I will share even next week a little bit more of this, but I want you to hear that our membership here is you recognizing that Christ as your Lord and Savior, and also going through our new members class. And the purpose of that is so that you can hear the heart of your pastor and other leadership as we run together for the kingdom of God. And so we have that on February 9th, 16th, and 23rd. Also, disaster relief training, February 6th to the 8th at Woodridge Baptist Church. You must be a member of the Alabama Baptist Church. Remember, if you go, we will cover your cost, except for you will have to pay for a background check. But we want to make sure that you are there. Also, today, as we are in 21 days of prayer and fasting, we'll end next Sunday with the taking of the Lord's Supper together and sharing vision and direction that the Lord's putting on my heart. But today we have prayer from 12 to 1. Some of you say, well, David, I have lunch plans. You, like I said last week, you can cancel those right now. Just pull out your phone and text to your friends. But here's the really cool thing. Our children's ministry is going to have also a time of prayer from 12 to 1 today. And it's going to be stations for the kids and for their parents to walk through together. And so they're going to be walking through the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And love for you to be a part of that from 12 to 1 if you would like to stay. So we're going to have prayer in here at 12. And then also there's going to be prayer in the children's room with parents and kids. Listen, this is not for you to send your kids there and then you come in here. This is for you to walk with your kids together. Because we want to be an example of prayer and seeking the Lord and walking with our children through all of seeing that. And so super excited. It's been a wonderful first 14 days of this 21 days, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do in the last week of this prayer and fasting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today. Father, you are a good, good Father, and we just praise your holy, holy name. Father, today I know that there's a lot of tiredness just from staying up at D-Now. I know there's a lot of excitement of once in 7-8 years of snow here in Mobile. Father, I also know that some people come in with heavy burdens. Lord, there are multiple things that can distract us today. And Father, I pray that right now that we would lay all of that down. That we would say, Father, speak to us through your word. That we would ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our understanding of your truth. And that we would place it into our lives. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love and mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us. And now today, Father, may we pour back incense of praise to you. As we sing, may it not just be words on a screen, but may it be the desire of our hearts being lifted up to you. And as we hear your word, may we not simply say, when can we go? When will this be done? But may we say, Father, teach us and grow us. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. It's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. If you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to take the welcome card out of the seat back pocket that's right in front of you. Fill that thing out. Put it in one of the boxes in the back of the room, and you'll get a little bit more information about the ministries of Luke 418 Fellowship, how you can join in with us, how you can become a member, or if you just want me to email you, I'll be able to do that. So we'd love for you to do that. Why don't you stand and greet those around you as we begin to sing today. Amen. We come to the table and worship our God. Come on, you weary. Doxology together. Today we come together as the people of God. In the house of the Lord, we give Him praise. Let's lift up our voices this morning.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Up on that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place. And we won't be quiet. The beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Amen. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running. Shout out.
today for what he's done, for who he is, and for the hope that we have. In 1 Peter 1:3, Peter is talking to the people that have been dispersed, that are scattered about. And isn't that just like today? Christians are all over the world, but we still have the same hope and the same promise in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. He says in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance," listen to this, "which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Nothing can take you out of the palm of his hand. If you've submitted to his authority, there's no better place to be. If you don't know Jesus this morning, today is the day to make it right." Amen. Let's sing this wonderful song that just says, "Hallelujah, what a Savior we have."
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my
hope, Jesus. Who could imagine?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages,
amen,
stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear.
Sing this.
The cross has spoken.
You may be seated as we continue to worship today. Woo! That gets me excited. It really does. Because there's nothing that you can do to buy your salvation. You can't steal it. And nobody can take it away. And the life that we now live, he's taken into account every single part of who you are. Every hair that's on your head, every decision you have made, that you're making now, that you're going to make in the future. And when you're in Christ, he gives you good things to do. You're a new creation. And he wants you to go do those good things. And he's going to provide a way, give you everything you need for life and for godliness, but not in your own power. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We sang this song about a month ago, and we're bringing it back now for you to sing with us. And Donna's going to lead it. It says, yet not I, but Christ who is in me is the one that is working. Amen. So Donna, would you lead us today?
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more that heaven now can give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
Would you sing with us this morning?
To this I hold, my only hope is Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can sing. Day by day, I know he will renew
until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall
together. Heavenly Father, we just say right now that this life is a race. It's a race with you at the finish line where we will see you and you will say, well done and good and faithful servant. We pray that we would serve you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, that we would listen and obey, that we would bring light to this city, not by our own power, but through the light that you give. That people would see our good works and praise our Father who is in heaven. That we would love with God's love and not our own. That it would be that unconditional love that has no caveats. That we would see people the way that you see them. That their identity is a child of God, made in his image. And Lord, today we just pray that we would be able to taste and see that you are good, that your ways are best, and you have loved us with an unfathomable kind of love. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
A Father, He is my daily bread, my living water. I have a promise He will deliver. I'm satisfied, 'cause He is good. I know a Father, He is my daily bread, my living water. I have a promise He will deliver. I'm satisfied, 'cause He is good. From the mountain to the valley, on my best days and worst ones,
He is good.
And from glory to glory,
He is good.
Oh, taste and see that He is good.
I'm satisfied, 'cause He is good. I know a good God, I have a Father.
sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. His word is sweeter than
the honey from the honeycomb. Sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. Taste and see that he is sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb.
Every day.
Sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. Taste and see that he is sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb.
My God is sweeter.
Sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. Taste and see that he is.
Jesus is the sweetest name I've ever known. On my best days and worst ones, he is good. And from glory to glory, he is good.
Oh, taste and see that he is good. I'm satisfied, 'cause he is good.
That the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Why don't you sing with us this morning?
My God is sweeter.
Sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. Taste and see that he is sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb.
Psalm, because I love the passage that speaks about the word of God being sweeter than the honey on a honeycomb, probably because I love honey. It is good. It is good. And the word is good. A friend of mine always says that, you know, the word talks about being our daily bread. It talks about sustaining us, but it also says that it's dessert, right? Because it's sweeter than honey on the honeycomb. And so I love that song. I wish that y'all had just could be a fly on the wall whenever I call Brother Randy, especially the night before Sunday or on a Saturday night. And I called him last night around 8 o'clock and I said, I know I've been working on this message for about 3, 4, 5 weeks now, but I believe that the Lord is changing my heart just for this Sunday. And well, before I said that, I said, Randy, do you love your pastor? And he didn't answer me. So then I tell him what the Lord is putting on my heart. And this is what I love about Brother Randy. Y'all don't get to hear this and see this as often as I do. But Brother Randy said, David, if the Lord's told you, it's a done deal. And so you need to walk in that. This morning when I got here, I said, man, I still feel like the Lord is leading me in this direction. He said, well, there's nothing else for us to talk about. You better get a message ready. And so next week I will share just my heart of what the Lord's been placing on my heart. And I want to thank you for all those who have been praying, especially over the last 2 weeks in prayer and fasting for that message. But today I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now, some of you have heard that I got a call from the Kennecook Institute and they asked me to come and teach. Their teachers, they fly in all over the just for a short time. It's not going to teach and live there. It's going to teach for a day or a couple days. And they asked me, they said, David, would you be willing to teach? And they said, we're going to give you one day to teach, but you have to teach the whole book of 1 John. And I said, you haven't done any research on me, have you? I said, it took a year to get through Ephesians. I don't know if one day is enough for 1 John. So I'm actually teaching this week 1 John, the whole book, in one day at the Kennecook Institute on Friday. So I ask you to be praying that miracles still happen. But today I want to share with you, and I haven't even really put this part fully together because in my studies and preparation for teaching at the Institute, I'm about three chapters in trying to condense this down to one day. But this morning, the Lord just really put on my heart 1 John 5, 1 through 5, and I'm going to title this message, The Birthmarks of a Believer. The Birthmarks of a Believer. According to John Hopkins, and I don't know if I said that name proper, but birthmarks are an area of discolored or raised skin that is apparent at birth or a few weeks after birth. I think this is very significant. It says that it is an apparent sign. It's something that you can see. Well, today we're going to look at 1 John 1 through 5, and we're going to see five birthmarks of those who are born of God. So if you truly have been born of God, if you are a true born-again believer, these birthmarks will be seen through your life. So let's read 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the children born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray. Father, we just praise your holy name, and I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that your word will go forth today. We know that it says that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that which it was set out to do. We know that your word is sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts through the bone and marrow to the soul. Father, get me out of the way today. Place me on the front row and let your spirit speak today. Oh, Father, we just love you. We praise you, and we give you all glory, for it's in your holy name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When we dive into these five verses, I think the first thing that we need to look at is this idea of being born of God, this second birth, so to say. You know, Jesus speaks of this when he's talking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, mainly verses 1 through 8, we see this dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus asks, and he says this in verse 2. He said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus asked the question that all of us would ask in that moment. How is it that a man can be born again? And verse 5, Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus then says to him, "Don't be amazed at this." And then he goes on and he speaks this famous verse in John 3:16. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." What is Jesus saying to Nicodemus in this moment is not that you are born again the way that you were born at your birth, but you're born again in the fact that you have been transformed from death to life because you have believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You have trusted in the finished work of Jesus. And because of this, you are now born into the family of God. Last week, we talked about the Lord's model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus starts by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven." And I shared with you last week that the only people that can truly say "Our Father" are those who are born into the family of God. You can say all day long, you can recite the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer in Matthew 6, but the only ones who can truly say "Our Father" are those who have been born into the family of God. I said last week, and I say it again today, the Scripture speaks very clearly that those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have trusted and believed, their Father is God the Father. But those who do not believe, those who are dead in their sins, the Scripture says their father is the devil. The Scripture is very clear in that. That's the reason why we must be born again. When we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, when salvation takes place and justification happens in our life, we have a second birth. And we become children of God. And Paul explains this even further in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very famous verse that many of us know. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Or Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God." Church, we must recognize that Jesus is very specific. He's very clear that the only way to enter into the kingdom of God, the only way to have eternal life with Christ Jesus, is to be born again. You say, "Well, how are we born again?" We know from John 14:6 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And so the first sign, the first birthmark of a believer is real simple. In verse 1 of chapter 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The first birthmark of a believer is one who believes Jesus is the Christ. That word "believe" means to accept as true. But this doesn't simply mean that you just accept that Jesus lived a good life or Jesus... It's not just knowing about him and believing about him. It's believing that Jesus is the Christ. That word means Messiah, means the anointed one or Savior. Not only do we believe that Jesus exists, but we believe that he is the Savior of the world. If we believe that he is the Savior of the world, then we must recognize that there's something that we need to be saved from. Now, we all know, and many of us in this room could probably quote the Romans Road and Genesis chapter 3, but what do we need saving from? And that is the punishment of sin. Genesis 3, we see that sin enters into this world. And because of sin, there is a wage. That wage is death, Romans 6:23. That wage is a separation from God. Church, because of sin, we are in need of a Savior who will take the wrath of God that we so deserve upon him so that we may be born again. Romans chapter 5 speaks of this so clearly. I love it, verse 8 and 9. Many of us know these, but I think sometimes we miss verse 9. We quote verse 8 and we miss verse 9. But God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does verse 9 say? Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ, through the Messiah, through Jesus. Church, the first birthmark of a believer or a born-again child of God is one who believes that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. This is why Romans 10, 9, and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord or Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You are not born of God if you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You are not truly born of God if you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The second birthmark of a believer we see at the end of verse 1. It says, and whoever loves the Father loves the children born of him. The second birthmark is that we love the children of God. John 13, 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, next week, I'll share more in depth in this, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here. But if you say that you are born again and do not love your brother or sister, you are a liar. The scripture speaks of that. I love what Brother Fred always said. And interesting enough, Randy told me that this morning. Brother Fred always said, scripture says you have to love them, doesn't mean you have to like them. But I'll never forget Brother Fred saying that. See, what Brother Fred is saying is that when you are born of God, he changes your heart for others, but especially for the body of Christ. The third thing that we see here is that the birthmark of a believer is that you believe Jesus is the Christ. You have a love for other believers. You have a love for the body of Christ or the children of God. But the third thing is that when you are born of God, you obey his commandments. Man, this is so simple. In John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you skip down to verse 23 and 24, which just look at it on the screen, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. What's interesting about this is he starts this by saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes down further in 23 and 24 and he says, if the word is in you, you're going to keep my commandments. And here's the beautiful thing. In between those passages, go home and read it. It talks about God's not going to leave us as orphans. And he's going to send us the Holy Spirit to do something in us. It's that word that I love. The Holy Spirit will abide in you. So what is God telling us in this passage? He's saying to us that if you are born of God, you're going to walk in obedience of his commands, not in your own power, not in your own strength, but by the Holy Spirit of promise that he will send to you to abide in you. He doesn't say, you'll keep my commandments in your own power and your own strength. He doesn't say that if you work it hard enough, work at it hard enough that you'll be able to keep my commandments. What he says is that if you are born of God, you will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living within you. And because the Spirit of God does that which is according to the Scripture, he will give you the power and the strength to walk in obedience of my commands. Now, church, I want you to hear that doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle. Because if we take our eyes off of the Spirit within us, if we take our eyes off of God, if we take our eyes off of the Scriptures, guess what's going to happen? The flesh is going to rise up in us. If we're not yielding to the Spirit within us, if we're not, here it is, abiding in Christ, we're going to find ourselves doing things of the flesh. But those who are born of God have the birthmark of the Holy Spirit dwelling within them that gives them the power and the strength to walk in obedience of his command. And this is why I love this passage. Y'all know I always go here, John 15:5. But today I'm just going to read 5 through 10 so that you can hear this about his commandments. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and gathered them, and they're cast into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. And here it is. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Church, a birthmark of a believer is one who walks in accordance to God's holy word through the power of the Holy Spirit. A birthmark of a believer is one who yields and abides to Christ. One who seeks God for the strength to walk in accordance to his word as an act of worship, not an act of legalism. As an act of worship to God. But you know, it's also important for us to see in verse 3 that John says, not only do you walk in obedience of the commands, but in verse 3, he gives us this understanding that his commands are not burdensome. Interesting. Because for some of us, if we look at the commands that Jesus gives us in his word, we begin to say, whoa, 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 these are burdensome, God. But the only reason that we think God's commands are burdensome is if we're trying to hold on to the flesh. If we're trying to hold on to the flesh, then we'll say, well, I just can't do this. Or if we're trying in our own power and strength. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you are born of God, then you believe and trust that God has your best interest in mind for the kingdom of God and for you. And though there are times where we read and we say, okay, this is hard, we say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. For your commandments are not burdensome, and you have given me the power of the Holy Spirit to obey them. In verse 4, we see this fourth birthmark. The birthmarks that we have seen is that we believe Jesus is the Christ, that you love the children of God, that you obey his commandments. And the fourth one is that you live victorious, or that you overcome the world. Look at what it says in verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Church, because you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead inside of you. Look at what Romans 8:11. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit, or through his spirit who dwells in you. A birthmark of a believer is one who lives a victorious life against that of this world, against the flesh. 2 Peter 1:3, another one of my favorite verses. It says that he has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. How does he do that? By giving us the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we can live a victorious life because of the power of God inside of us. Ephesians 6:10 through 13 talks about putting on the full armor of God. And I love what it says down in verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil days, and having done everything, to stand firm. Those who are born of God obeys God's commands by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they overcome the attacks of the enemy. And this is seen through what is produced in their life. This is seen with what is produced in your life. We just talked about in John 15:5 that when you abide in Christ, you bear much fruit. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Galatians 5:16 through 25 speaks of these things. I want us just to see that today. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things which you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, let me say it this way. If you are born of God, filled by the Spirit, if you are led and yielding to him, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Church, if you are born of God, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And when you abide in Christ, these are things that are not going to come forth from your life. If you say you're a Christian, but you continue to practice these things, the question is, do you really have the birthmarks of a believer? That word practice in Galatians means a continual doing. If you say that you believe in Christ, if you say that you're born of God, but yet you are okay with continually practicing sin, then you really need to get on your face and say, God, do I really believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah? If you really believe that he is the Christ and that he has saved us from the wrath of God because of our sin, why would you be okay with practicing sin day in and day out? But it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Church, the birthmark of a child born of God is that they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. They love the children of God. They obey his commandments. They live a victorious life. And lastly, in verse 5, it says, and who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Not only is he the Messiah, the Savior, but this speaks to his deity. That Jesus is fully God, fully man. We've gone through the hypostatic union many times. I don't need to spend time on it today. But we see here that Jesus is eternally begotten of the Father. He's always been and will always be. He and the Spirit and the Father are one of the same essence. It says in John 10:30, I and the Father are one.
Jesus even prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17, 20 through 21. I do not ask on behalf of those alone, but also those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. Church, we see these birthmarks of a believer. That you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You have a love for his children. You obey his commandments. You live a victorious life. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me go back for a moment to John Hopkins. He used this term. Birthmarks are areas of discolored or raised skin that are apparent at birth. Church, I want to ask this question to you today. Are these birthmarks apparent in your life? If you say that you are born of God, these birthmarks will be apparent in your life. I will go as far to say that if you don't see these birthmarks in your life, then today needs to be the day of salvation. And you may say, David, that seems really, really hard. Well, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, we've got major problems. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God or Son of the Living God, we have major problems. And the three in between are all things that happen in your life because of your belief in the Messiah. Because Jesus is the Son of God, you're going to love others. You're going to walk in obedience. And you're going to find yourself living a victorious life. Yes, there's going to be struggles. Yes, there's going to be difficulties in life. Yes, you're going to stray sometimes. But let me tell you, if you're truly born of God, you will always return. Because the Spirit of God will continue to bring about conviction in your life that you may turn back to your true Father. So today, my prayer for you and for each person in this room is first to analyze, do you see the birthmarks of being a child of God in your life? And if not, I pray that today you would say, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 said, that you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, so that you may be saved. But church, if you say, hey, I believe, but there's some areas of my life that I am not walking in victory in, it's not because of the power of the Holy Spirit. He's all powerful. It's because of the lack of yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I pray that you would respond accordingly.